About This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lowry Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Powell. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed Wheeze Whirlpool. Our 3 weeks do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So, on with the laughter. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready?
I guess so.
You just guessed so. Well, that's very good. Our first joke this evening comes from Lewis Stern of Spivak, Colorado, and it's on the subject of receptions, gentlemen. Receptions. Peter Donald... Yeah, any kind. It's all right. Peter Donald, will you give the joke a welcome reception?
Well, it's about a very swanky lady, Mrs. Van Mortgage II, and she gave a reception, big swanky party for a lot of people, and she made it a musicale. She hired this eminent pianist to entertain the guests, a fellow, incidentally, by the name of Iturbi. You've heard of Jose. This guy was his brother, Lause. And matter of fact, he used to play with the big Philharmonic Orchestra, except one night when he was supposed to be playing piccolo in the finale, he was playing pinochle in the basement. So they got... Anyway, he played, and he played quite brilliantly for about an hour. And finally he got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "for an encore, I shall play the Grieg Concerto. My next offering is the Grieg Concerto." And he played this beautiful Grieg Concerto. And he got all through and everybody applauded. And a little guy jumped up. He says, wait a minute. He says, "You got for to play that again." Well, I said, "Very well, sir." And he played the whole concerto again. More applause. The fellow says, no, don't go away from the piano. You got for to play that again. So he played it again. Next time, the little guy jumped up. He says, "Now you got to play it just once more." The pianist said, "Well, sir, I am very flattered." He said, "I've never met such a devotee of music, but why are you so fond of the Grieg Concerto?" He says, "Why do I like the Grieg Concerto? Don't be silly. Because I'm a Greek myself."
$700 is the score in the laugh meter this time, Ward.
Peter, that was sort of a Greek to the audience, too. It got up to $700, however. We automatically give Mr. Stern $10, and Joe Lowry had his
Greeks
hand up first.
Void for it.
Greeks.
Excuse me. I thought I had one, Ward. I haven't got one.
All right, let's go back and have a brief.
I don't think I had a good one anyway.
Well, apparently Harry Hirschfield does, so we'll call on him.
Well, I got a couple in mind on. This is receptions, huh? Well, I can use it in a general sense. When Eisenhower, I want to tell you as a preface first, when Eisenhower came here, you remember they planned the big festivities for him and everything, and on the reception committee to meet him and everything at the bigger festivities was Mr. Schnutz, and Mr. Schnutz was so happy that he had to go to this thing that he started to drink a little bit. Every saloon he stopped and had a drink, and he had another drink, and he was getting good and cockeyed. Instead of going to Fifth Avenue, he staggered into Central Park, and he bumped into a tree. 2 feet away, dropped in and bumped into another tree. Then he bumped into another tree, and he says, "I think I'll sit down and wait till the parade passes." I want to tell about a certain guy. He was one of those fellows looking for trouble. And he was looking for trouble, and he got it. So he got into an awful fight, and they ripped his nose off completely. Completely his nose came off. And naturally was embarrassed about being without a beezer all this time. And he'd stay at home and finally figure he ought to go out. So finally was invited by a party of some close friends. And he came there, but the head of the party said to their family, he says, "Now when he comes here, I don't want you to say anything about his nose. Receive him as if nothing had happened. Because he's very sensitive. Now very, very quiet, say nothing. Just keep going. But you, Tommy, you especially, don't say anything about his nose now." So finally this guy came to the party and he was sitting around and they received him very naturally. But little Tommy kept looking at him and kept looking at him. Then he suddenly blurted out and says, "Mama, why did you tell me not to say anything about his nose, especially when he ain't got any?"
Well, maybe his nose couldn't smell, and that joke certainly didn't. Harry, I got 1,000.
Harry certainly was belittling there. A fellow loses his nose, and Harry says he was embarrassed.
Well, he blew it out.
I didn't put my hand up, but I guess it doesn't make any difference. I'm talking anyway. So, this is a different kind of a reception, though. It's not a party or anything like that. Fred Allen is one of the fastest guys in the world on the trigger, you know. And one day, a very conceited actor said to him, "Fred, that new show I'm in is a hit. And I'm terrific in it. I'm colossal. I'm something." He says, "Do you know that every time I walk out on that stage, the whole audience sits there open-mouthed?" Fred says, "That's an awful lot of people to be yawning at the same time."
Well, Senator, they didn't yawn at that joke, certainly.
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Which also tops Mr. Stern's 700.
I know, another one.
Has Joe got
time? Oh, you have another one?
I've got it.
Was that a preface or the...
No, as long as it got 1,000, count it.
I think it's pretty smart. Joe, did you think of your missing joke?
I've been trying to think. I just got a very short one. I just can't think of any good. But about Mrs. Guinness comes back from a party, and her friend says, "How was the reception? How was a Doyle's reception?" She says, "Oh, it wasn't much. She was very stiff and formal." She says, "Stiff and formal, was it?" He says, "Yes. Yes, Mrs. Doyle was formal and Mr. Doyle was stiff."
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh eater for that one, Ward.
Joe, you're doing very well with
those.
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Continuing now our contest of wit and humor, the next joke was sent in by Captain Joseph J. Bryla of Indiantown Gap Military Reservation, Pennsylvania. The subject of this joke will be soldier. Soldier. We're quite familiar with that topic right now, so Peter Donald, will you give it the forward mark?
Well, this happened at an army camp, and it was the regular Saturday morning inspection, you know, at which time the soldier must display all of his personal equipment, all the clothing and shoes and socks and the razor and toothbrushes and 3 razor blades for 1 week's supply. He must have the 3 razor blades. So this particular inspecting captain came along, and he got up to one soldier, and he looked over the equipment, and then he said, "Private, don't you know you got to display equipment for 1 week's supply?" So the fellow said, "Duh, yeah, yeah." He said, "That's what I got right there. Don't mess it up, neither. That's what I got right there." Officer said, "I'm sorry, you only have 1 razor blade. That isn't enough for 1 week." He said, "Oh, yes, it is. That blade there is enough for a week." He said, "Enough for a whole week?" He said, "Yes, this is even enough for a month, that blade is." He said, "Enough for a month?" He says, "Yeah, even might be for a year, that blade." He said, "Ridiculous. How could one blade last you a year?" He says, "That's easy. I haven't even started to shave yet."
$1,000 on the laugh meter. The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
And so we automatically send Mr. Captain Bryla $25, and you fellas are just out for the laughs. Or I hope you are, at least. Joe Laurie Jr., I think, had his hand up first.
Joe was so slow in the last one. He's first this time. He got a little encouraged.
Lieutenant Colonel Hoffman told us at a dinner the other night, bears repeating. This is a preface, Ward. Doesn't count. It's about this fella putting on a medal on this fella, and he, in front of this whole company, he says, "This man is a brave man. He's a soldier. And I'm proud to decorate him with this medal." And he says, "He was on sentinel duty, and he just walking up and down his post, and he was surrounded by the enemy. But he didn't care. He just kept walking up and down his post while he was surrounded all around him by the enemy." And this fellow said, "General, was that the enemy?" He says, "Yeah. Who do you think they were?" He says, "I thought they were my own troops." He told him much better. But so what I want to tell is Mrs. Epstein says, Mrs. Appaport says, "You know, the officers in the army are very untidy." She says, "You say the officers in our army are untidy?" "Why, Mrs. Epstein, that's treason." He says, "I got a treason for saying it." He says, "What's your treason?" She says, "Look, I got a letter from my Montgomery." He says, "Dear Mom, today I had to clean up the officers' mess again."
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Hi, Captain Bryla, but you can't top him. And Senator Ford, I think, had his hand up second.
Well, a fellow, sort of a gigolo, was chasing a millionaire's daughter. And somebody asked him later how he's making out. And he said, "No runs, no hits, no errors. I just threw that in for the ball players in the audience, that's all." I know a lot of soldier gags, though. I can think of a good one, I mean. I have no clue. Probably picked the wrong one. Well, here's some year or so ago when General Vinegar Joe Stillwell, you know, the old general with the wrinkled face, was over in China. He used to like to wander around the front lines without his insignia. One day he was fording a stream and a private said to his companion, he said, "Look at that poor old man. You know, some of those gall-down draft boards will take anything."
$1,000 on the lap meter.
Senator, but since you're in a hopeless spot trying to top Captain Bryla's $1,000, you're still standing still, and we haven't heard from Harry Hirschfield.
Well, there are a lot of soldier stories. One I want to toss in quick is one soldier says to the other, "What were you doing with those three whacks?" He says, "I was trying my deuce to get rid of the other two." But a fella was telling, I was getting letters from his girl all the time, and he was boasting to his friend. He said, "When I get into home, oh boy, does she love me? Does she want to see me? Oh boy, well, it's going to be great. You know how that girl loves me." So I met him a few days later after he got back. He said, "You see your girl?" He said, "Oh boy." He says, "How did she treat you?" He says, "I never saw a girl love a guy like she loves me. Oh, she kissed me and hugged me, looked at me for an hour, ran her hands through my hair and my head, and she pinched my cheeks and everything, and I finally said, 'Snap out of it, kid, let's go stepping.' And we went out stepping. And the fella says, 'How much did you spend on her?' He says, $2.75. He says, $2.75, that's not much. He says, 'That's all she had.'"
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
That's a perfect hey, job for all of you fellas.
Harry's kind of reminds me of a gag about the two girls were talking. One said, "I was out with two servicemen last night," and the other one said, "What were they?" And the first one said, "Well, one was a corporal, and the other one didn't have any money either."
Is this the second round we're starting now, Senator?
Huh?
Is this the second round we're starting now?
Oh, I don't go in chronological disorder. I just throw them in.
We officially get into the third round, and our next joke comes from Sylvia Roos of Baltimore, Maryland. The subject this time is something I'm sure all three of you are quite familiar with, gentlemen. Marriage. Matrimonial bliss.
All four of us.
You want to bet?
Peter, I hope you're wedded to this joke.
Okay, this is about my old friend Sadie DeKalb, the Brooklyn Brunhilde, this wonderful girl. And she's walking along the street one day, and she met old Mr. Gottgeld. He's a millionaire, very rich fellow, he's loaded with dough. Just to give you an idea, he wears a chinchilla toupee. That's how rich the man is. Loaded with dough. So anyway, she walked up and she said, "Oh, hello, Mr. Gottgeld. Gee, how are the old arteries today?" You're still suffering from them Syracuse veins you used to have? Or is it just that lumbago that used to trouble you? He said, "No, Sadie," he said, "I'm suffering, but it's not from ailments. He said, it's from love." She looked at him. She said, "Why, you old Van Johnson, you." "Believe me, you're no Van. You're a Surrey with no fringe on top. Believe me." He said, "Well, now I'll tell you my problem." He says, I want to ask your advice about this, Sadie." He said, "I have fallen in love with a young girl of 21. Now, I want to propose marriage to this girl. I have $1 million. I can give her everything in the world. But I'm 60 years old. Now, do you think that I maybe would be a little better for me if I told her that I was only 50? "Oh, well, that's quite a predicament. That's a mess, isn't it? Gee, I don't know. You're $1 million. You certainly could give her everything in the world. You want to marry this girl, 21, and you ask me if I think it'd be better if you told her you were 50 instead of 60? She says, "Well, as a matter of fact, you know, if you ask me, I think it would be better if you told her about the $1 million and then said you were 85.
$1,000 on the lap meter.
So once again, you gentlemen are just out for the laughs, and Harry Hirschfield had his hand up first.
I think I have a new one, and I think it's certainly a crazy one. A fella got married.
That's the subject.
Yeah. If it's the subject, then you're crazy. A fella got married, and after a while his wife died, and he married a second time. And he said to the second wife, "Now listen, I don't care how you change the house around, but up in that closet is my first wife's hat. I picked it out for it. Leave it stay there. I like it." So the second wife died. And he said to the third wife, "I don't care how you change the house,
But don't change those two ladies' hats up there for my former wives. I picked them up. She says, no, I won't change it, but I'll tell you this. The next hat that goes up there will be a derby.
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
Hi, Miss Ruth, if you didn't pop her. A very good story, and Joe Laurie was the trial.
Well, there's a lot of jokes on marriage. This one, just a preface, this doesn't count about the fellow was talked to death by his wife. Oh, he couldn't get over it. She'd talk him deaf, dumb, and blind. So finally, he says to his friend, he says, oh, if my wife ever dies, he says, if she ever dies, and I get married again, I'll jump in the ocean and marry a mermaid. So what's the idea of marrying a mermaid? He said, because as soon as she opens her mouth, it'll fill with salt water. No matter. But what I want to tell is about a fella. Tells his friend, he says, you know, Ben, you ought to get married.
He says, oh, I don't want to get married.
He says, yes, marriage is a wonderful thing. It's just especially the romance. He says, romance is marvelous. You get a girl, and he says, oh, you go out in the woods, and you go out on a lake with a canoe and paddle a canoe and beautiful moonlight night, and you play a ukulele, and you sink. Ah, there's no... He says, there's no fun in that. There's no fun in that. I did it. He says, you did what? He says, I went out in the woods. He says, I was on the lake and paddling a canoe and singing and everything. The moon was out and everything. He says, well, he says, it's all according to what girl you have with you. He says, oh, you got to have a girl?
$1,000 on the laugh meter.
You two tied, Miss Roos. And, Senator, how about you in this round with Mary?
Well, I was, you know, I always thought that they put ropes along the aisle to keep the groom from running away. It's not much of a joke. Two men were talking. One said, I'm a man of very few words. The other one said, I'm married, too.
One made the top. $1,000 on the laugh meter.
And all of you gentlemen got $1,000 on that round, including Peter. So that's a perfect round.
We'll be right back with our next round of jokes after these few commercial words.
Now here's a joke sent in by Miss Rebecca Urbank of Peninsula, Ohio, and it's on the subject of instructions. Instructions. So, Peter, I hope you'll take a few and see what you can do with Miss Urbank's joke.
Well, this is about Abercrombie Fafufnik. And Mr. Fafufnik bought one of these brand-new post-war cars, you know, like, not a Jeep, it's a Jip, you know, got all the stuff on it. So he drove it home, and he was very proud, and he showed it to his wife, and she said, oh, isn't that gorgeous? Hey, that's such a car. Oh, it's so stinky. She said, what is that, an Oldsmobile or something? What is that? She said, you know what, when I look at the car right away, I want to learn to drive. I'm going to learn to drive the car.
So he said, Daphne, he says, you do... Daphne, darling, he says, sweetie puss, he says, you just said a mouthful, forget it.
She says, now, what are you talking about? She says, my girlfriend, Turalura Rabinowitz, drives a car. She's very good, too. She can drive backwards at 70 miles an hour and makes 3 U-turns in a row without ever once getting off the sidewalk. She's wonderful. You'll teach me how to drive the car, that's all.
So he couldn't do anything about it. So he started teaching her to drive the car, and finally he got her going along pretty good. And she said, darling, she said, you've got to
explain all the parts of the car because I don't know which is the carburetor and which is the pedestrian. You've got to tell me.
He said, all right. He said, I'll elucidate for you. He says, over here we have the steering wheel. He says, it is called the steering wheel because we steer with it. That is why we call it the steering wheel. You got that?
She says, I got it.
He said, all right. He says, here is the windshield. It is a windshield because it shields us from the wind. You got that?
She says, I got it.
He says, you see, every part of the car has got a definite purpose. Now, here is the gear shift. We call it the gear shift because we shift the gears with it.
So as this is going along, all of a sudden they come to a red light. She doesn't stop. She drives the car right through the red light and scrunch. She goes right into a car ahead of her. Knocks both cars flying. Her husband comes too. He puts his upper plate back in his mouth.
He says, no, Mrs. Green Hornet. He says, what's the idea? You could kill somebody. He says, why did you have to go through the light like that?
She says, now don't get picky with me. She says, didn't you tell me that everything in the car was for a definite purpose?
He says, yeah, yeah.
She says, all right. So on the front of the car, we got a bumper, so I thought I'd bump somebody.
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
And all of you fellas are just out for laughs now, and Harry Hirschfield, I guess, wants to tackle it first.
You know, with the help situation as it is, they hired a butler in the Veri-Veri at the home of Miss Van Eppes, and they get this butler, and he's a goof. And they're instructing him in the amenities of the place and everything. And he says that, of course, you know how to telephone. He said, yeah. Just then the phone rang. He says, all right, answer the phone. They got on the phone and he said, Van Eppes residence. You don't say. You don't say. You don't say. And when he hung up, he says, who was it? He says, he didn't say.
1,000 on the lap meter.
But it's only time, Miss Erbank. We'll listen to Senator Ford next.
Well, this is this could have fit up a couple of rounds up there on soldiers, too. a sentry was on duty one night, and he thought he saw a furtive figure in the darkness. He said, who goes there? And the boy said, friend with bottle. He said, friend pass, bottle halts.
1,000 on the lap meter.
How about you?
Yeah, I've got one about this new servant girl and the mistress. She never cooked before, so the mistress instructed her what to do with the chicken. And the next day she says, well, Bridget, she says, did you clean and wash the chicken as I told you? She said, oh, I followed your instructions to the dust. I cleaned it all thoroughly. Then you said to wash it, and last night when I took my bath, I put it in with me. So the next girl come along.
Thank you very much, Joe. We'll be generous and give you 900 on that joke. It bounced off the thousand.
Senator hit 4 1,000 tonight?
Well, that's fair enough. We'll congratulate him after.
What do you mean, fair? It's perfect.
Don't tell him now or he's liable to get conceited. But since none of
you're gentlemen... starting again, eh?
Well, it seems that's all the time we're going to have tonight, folks. So I'd like to ask everyone to join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week, same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long, and take care of yourself until we meet again next time.